Hello and welcome back to episode 14 of Project Pod with me, Marietta Sandilands. So today I was speaking with Alex Prout and Kasper Friedrichsen, who are the managers of Absalon in Copenhagen. So Absalon describes itself as your living room away from home. It's a place where you can go and have coffee, you can go and hang out or go to the bar in the evening or have dinner there. And it's been running now for around 3 years. It's set in a converted church in the Vesterbro area of Copenhagen. And it was started by the founder of Tiger Stores, Lennart Lieberchitz. And it was a place that I originally discovered when I visited Copenhagen last summer. And I really loved the concept of it and the vibe there, as it's a place that really focuses on positive ways of bringing people together and just enjoying being together. And it's a place where they have a whole range of activities aside from this communal dinner, which is, I think, their most popular activity there. But it's a place where you can go and have coffee, go and work there. You can play table tennis there. They have various gigs and DJ evenings and movie nights. I think they have bingo nights, yoga, you name it. They've got a whole range of things going on. And what I love about it is the fact that the driving force really behind it is this idea that social interaction drives happiness. And so Absalon is all about finding ways to create that for people. So I'm incredibly grateful to Alex and Kasper for their time speaking with me. We had a long chat and it really, really inspired me to think about ways we can create community around us wherever we're living and positive ways of bringing people together. So I hope you will enjoy our chat today and it will inspire some of you to go and visit Absalon and see for yourself. And it's a discussion I hope to continue in future episodes, really this idea of ways we can create community and positive social interaction in small and big ways around us.
So today I'm here with Alex Prout. I said that right?
You've said that extremely well. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. And Kasper from Absalon in Copenhagen. So I'm going to ask them lots and lots of questions about the community space, how and why it was started up. And really, yeah, it's a project that I went and visited when I went to Copenhagen this summer. And I'm really, really interested to learn more about it, really, why it was started up and what keeps it running and, yeah, the inspiration and ideas that drive it. So, Alex, tell me, you said, I know when we were speaking about email, you said that you were, you've been involved since the very beginning.
Yeah, well, I was here from 2 weeks after the doors opened here, and that's actually when Kasper also joined. Mm-hmm. So we've been here as long as each other, and my initial interview, funnily enough, was for head chef, because I was just looking for a job, and I'm from England, and I'd been here for about a year at this point, and yeah, I heard about Absalon on Facebook. Someone was looking for to run a little kitchen, and I have some experience in that, not lots, but so I applied for that job, and I was invited down for an interview and came in. I'd never been here before. And
can you just explain what you thought you were kind of coming to and why, what Absalon is or what it was to you then when you applied for the interview and came?
I mean, as far as I knew, it was a community kitchen. I really didn't know that much about it. There wasn't that much press about it at that point or much to find out on the internet, just to come down. And at the time I was working two jobs, and it was more a case of this, what they're looking for fits my life perfectly right now. I was running a little burger adventure with a couple of friends of mine in that over the summer, and so I thought maybe this is some way we could bring it into a space, not just make burgers but to run a small kitchen together. So I was kind of going in for the three of us, really, at that point, because I really liked working with these two guys, and I thought, this is something, this sounds perfect for us. It's just come from nowhere. So I really didn't know much about it. I was completely blind. I just was more so, okay, this sounds interesting, let's go. And I didn't have any time before the interview to really come down and look at it even, because I was working two jobs at the time. So so I didn't really have a clue what it was, more than the small description on this Facebook message. So I really was blind, I could say. So what did I expect? It's just a community house, and that sounded interesting to me, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay, and so you went and you had the interview, and things have obviously developed in the... That was... How long ago was that?
Three years ago now, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I basically... When I walked through... I think the experience of coming to Absalom and walking through Absalom for the first time, it can be quite dramatic, because you don't really know what to expect. And to walk into this space which is extremely colourful, beautiful high ceilings, the feeling of a church, but totally not a church in any way. And then when I walked in, there were four table tennis tables out, and people were playing from the age of maybe 12, 13 to the oldest that day was 95 years old. And I was like, what is this? I was completely, I was a little bit shocked, really. I really didn't have anything I didn't really expect anything. But at the same time, there's no way I expected that. So I had this interview for head chef, and I was like, I can't cook food for 200 people every day, which is what they were looking for. But I was looking around at the other guys with their t-shirts on, saying Absalom, and just being around the guests and everything. I said, what do they do? And, oh, yeah, they serve, make coffee and walk around the tables or whatever. You know, they look after the house. So I could imagine doing that. So I put my hand up for that, basically, and that was my way in, so to speak. And then... It all started from there for me personally, yeah, the whole kind of journey of being a part of this house.
And what can you describe to people, what is the concept behind Absalom today?
Casper? No, it's one of those questions that's always quite
tricky. A big massive question.
If you break it down like quite simply, I believe it's Absalom is here to try and be a social. Absalom has been built to be a social catalysator for social interaction. So we try to make it easier for people to come in contact with other people and have a moment. Mm. That moment can be opening a door for someone and saying thank you. That could be sitting together, having a meal together with fellow speisning. It could be playing table tennis. It could just be sitting on the same table as someone. It can be from a very, very small interaction to something that, you know, we've had people that have met here and gone out on dates, and there's certainly some Absalom babies out there somewhere. where people have met here and had their first date here together. So it goes from the very small, minute, everyday occurrences that can actually mean quite a lot. Just looking in each other's eyes and you making sure you know that each person is not invisible and alive as a human being. You know, we're quite bad at looking in people's eyes these days, and that actually means a lot to me. I mean, in England, I think we're very good at being polite. We're probably too good at being polite sometimes. It's over the top. And so when it's so over the top, it almost feels insincere in some way. The Danes, I feel, don't have that same kind of base importance of politeness. I'm not saying people are impolite, but there wasn't so much emphasis put on it. Or maybe it's just, I don't know, I that's a hard thing to kind of but it's something that's so huge in Britain, you know, or it was. I mean, it's being lost there as well, definitely. But just that little moment where I felt when I first moved here, very few people acknowledged me, but you're also very aware to that because you've just moved to a new place. I had a girlfriend here, but no friends or anything, so, and no job. So you really do start on zero, but you notice from that point, wow, it's really nice when people say hello or thank you or hold a door open for you, or you hold it for someone and they actually say thank you. It's actually the first place in Copenhagen I've been to where I held a door open for someone and someone had acknowledged that I'd done that. And that shows me what we're doing is actually, one, really important, and two, is in some way succeeding.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting, that idea of drawing on your own experience, that kind of microcosm, and then expanding it out, really, to other people. And, yeah, taking that moment of value from your daily life and going, this is something that everyone needs.
I mean, if you look at, I've worked in hospitality a long time, most of my adult life, really. And there's this moment, this exchange that you have for a minute or something, if it's over a counter where someone's ordering a cup of coffee or something. And you can, so many people just completely discard that as just an element that needs to happen in the day. I need to have my coffee. I'm going to get the coffee. That person is going to give me the coffee and I'm going to go and drink my coffee. It's not, if people give a little bit of themselves to that moment or that interaction and be present for a moment, like you can have, your day can have a slight lift. You know, if you're feeling gloomy or what have you, and you just have a nice moment with someone that's making you a cup of coffee, which is sincere. I'm not talking about someone with a smile on their face and saying, running through the motions of serving a cup of coffee. But this is a really, really useful small social tool, I believe, or it can be in someone's day for both of those people. When you work in hospitality or a house like this, you have doors that are open to the world. Anyone can come in that day. And so you have to be, you have to be okay with that, first of all. And hopefully in that you can be comfortable in yourself and have an honest and decent moment with someone. That's another important part of what we do here. And it's something I always felt, but you don't really necessarily see it in the service industry, also on either side of the counter. People don't think about it in this way, and Absalon's helped me to realize that in myself, and also, like, well, I was doing this really important role. I had this important role in people's lives. I just didn't even know it myself, and that's something that's really interesting for me, because that's important that everyone has that feeling here as well.
Yeah. That's a really, really nice way of putting it, I think. And Casper, I wondered what your role has been at Absalon as well, and how you've been involved.
Well, I met Rebecca, who is Leonard's daughter, Leonard and Sue's daughter, and I knew her a little bit, and I met them outside Absalon the day before they opened. And Rebecca, she gave me a tour, and it was still like a mess the day before, actually. And I had heard nothing about it. I had never even seen that the church, because it like blends in with the buildings. But she gave me a tour, and I was really impressed, and I felt something weird. That I couldn't really describe, something I needed actually at that time, the atmosphere. And then I luckily they needed people, so I started 2 weeks after.
Okay.
And then when they opened, it took me back to being young and going with my mom to these summer schools. It was the exact same feeling, like with a community of the people in the house, and like forgetting a little bit about the outside world, but enjoying it, enjoying the moments there, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. Like it's Absalom to me is like a safe place where you can you're allowed to be who you are in a way, and mm-hmm. and talk. It's easy to talk to people, you know? that's what it does. Yeah.
And how are you involved at the moment in terms of the day to day? What are you doing, Absalom?
Well, I'm doing all the administrative things with Alex now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the not so fun stuff, I guess. Being on a computer, we both worked in the bar mm-hmm. from the beginning, and now I have taken a new role of running the place with Alex.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new thing, but it's really fun so far. Also, even though there's a lot of being on the computer.
Yeah. And so just to give people an idea of what actually happens, Absalom, day to day, in a typical day, if, for example, I was coming there, what's on offer to people there? What do you mm-hmm. offer people?
Yeah, as we open, we have like very long opening hours. We open from 7 in the morning, mm-hmm. midnight, during the week. And then in the weekend, it's till 2 in the morning. And from 7, you can come in and eat your breakfast. And we have yoga classes that start at 7 also. And the ping pong tables, they're always out. So you can come in and play. There's these 4 or 5 elderly guys who are coming every day now in the morning and play ping pong. It's really... really lovely, because they don't want to go to another place where there's like no soul or whatever, and so they come here
in the daytime. Yeah, like Casper says, it's kind of pretty open house downstairs in the main room. 4 tennis tables, you can come and get some breakfast, but then the more important element in the daytime is the Bavayasa room. Translation is movement, where we have yoga and things like morning dance. That's a really amazing part of the house. It explains, again, or shows the vision working. We'll quickly talk about that. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a room that's big enough for about 30 people. Morning dance, it's most
50.
Is it 50?
It's actually 50, yeah.
Okay, some room big enough for 50 people. You wouldn't want 50 people in it. And morning dance is extremely energetic, dancing at 9:30 in the morning, sorry, 8:30 in the morning.
And last week there was actually 49 people for that.
49 people, they're up there screaming and shouting. The bar is right beneath this room. Klubben is called. And it sounds, you just get... It sounds like there's a rave going on with your neighbours upstairs, and everyone that walks in is like, what's going on? Ah, it's just some people that are just dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm. But
it's they come out all red-faced and sweating and looking really, really happy at the end of it. And then the great element of it is that then they come down, whether they've been there for 10 weeks or whatever have you, or for the first time. And they always invite those people, and they all go down together and have some breakfast together.
Mm.
And then they have this huge little beautiful social group together. You know, this is quite often you go to an exercise class alone. It's very easy for you to go alone to something like that because you're doing something for yourself, especially if it's in the morning. A lot of people are, you know, otherwise at work or busy. So, you know, a lot of these people were alone going into this situation. And now every Tuesday and Thursday, they come and dance and sit and eat together and talk. You know, they even went on holiday together, a lot of them, this summer to the island of Bornholm, to a dance a weekend or something. So it's just, what did we do there? We said, hey, there's a room here and you can come and do this class. It's 50 kroner, so very, very cheap to go to it. there's no membership or anything that you have to join to come. You can just come and try it. If you like it, great. Hopefully you will. We make sure there's a good teacher in the room to make sure they have the right connection with those individuals. We need to have everyone that's employed here has to be the right person for the house, obviously, otherwise it doesn't work. But so then there's the room, here's a nice teacher, you pay 50 kroner for 1 hour, and then if you like, and then it's finished. These people then independently have said, should we not eat together? They've gone and done that, and they sit together every week. Then these people have gone, should we go on holiday together? You know, how beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? We just gave them the tools for it, and they took it on themselves and created a lovely social group for each other. It's just wonderful, really.
I think they come together in a very spiritual way up in the room, because that kind of dancing they're doing up there is very freaky, or they are showing sides of themselves that are, you know, you wouldn't walk around and show other people, I think.
Yeah, I think
so.
Right.
So they are letting themselves out.
By exposing yourself in that way, like, you then let other people in, I suppose. It's like you create this complete openness. The other thing is that you can't not be like that in that room because it's so intense. You've walked in. It's unfortunately the way it's going to be. So even if you're not immediately getting into it, they don't start like that. They have a warm up and they talk about, you know, some exercises to do beforehand to get you started, and then it slowly builds up into a full on rave in some form. But
we have one woman who was doing the morn dance for a long period. She just started working in the bar, and to her it still does the morn dance. But she says it's her drug. She has to do this now. Every Tuesday and Thursday, it gives her so much. Old school.
Yeah. It gives old school. What does that mean? I would say it's like space around you, you know, to be able to function. Like, if you're always on the edge, then it's very hard to feel good about what's going on, or even to be able to deal with anything that comes your way that's out of the ordinary. I suppose that's old school. I'm sure there's a direct translation, but if you have a bit of space around you, which this is what essentially this event does for her, then you can take challenges as they come much easier and deal with them before you get to that edge. It takes you back from the edge, right?
Yeah.
I love that description and that word. Such a good word.
Well, thank you.
So you've got So we were talking about a typical day. So you've got things like the morning dance and then breakfast, and then other activities in the day or other meals?
Not many activities in the day. We do once a month, we do a version of this morn dance in the main room for a couple of hours. So that's quite interesting. You walk in off the street and then there's just a rave going on. You're going in to get a cup of coffee. You're like, what's going on here? But otherwise, it's more kind of, it's a room that it's a space where we could do some more things, but Monday to Friday, it seems to just be a mix of people working on their computers, people, old friends meeting together and sitting and having some lunch together or some breakfast. It could be a father and a son sitting and playing a board game together.
Yeah. People come here to develop their own games. Also,
it's more of an open space for people to come, and we provide them with the elements you need to be able to stay in that space, and those are food and drink. Everything is a social tool here. It isn't because, oh, we need to have breakfast so we can make some money. Yeah, we need to obviously have some money to make the house sustainable, but it's more a case of, for example, we sell only a pot of tea, because if you have a pot of tea, there's more than one cup. So you could then share that with someone, or you can have two cups yourself, obviously, which is also nice, but it gives this ability to share. So it's like, hey, how many cups would you like? You know, And you can also then say, you passed time to it, and you could also take one more for someone else. We don't always do stuff like that, but it's more a case of, here's the tool, how do you use it? But anyway, so the daytime's multifunction in that way, all ages.
We have a day where there's Tuesdays for babies and their moms, obviously, or dads.
Mainly moms, because it's like
mainly moms.
Maternity leave at that point.
But there's yoga with the babies and also dancing, I guess. Dancing and music. It's called something in Danish that I can't translate either.
Yeah, but it is essentially, like, everyone has these classes, right, for babies and learning how to use their bodies and, like, introducing music. And so I think Bavale, so that little room club, it kind of dictates a lot of who comes down into the Seine in the daytime. But I would say it's all different ages using the space in all different ways. We could have ended up being the biggest internet cafe in Copenhagen because we have space for 200 people.
But this Monday there was a whole high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not, fortunately enough, you know, there was a talk in the beginning of should we have Wi-Fi or not, because computers and telephones. And
we didn't have Wi-Fi in the
beginning. That's right.
Actually. Yeah.
We didn't have Wi-Fi.
So no computers. It was a lovely period.
And it would have been really, really nice to kind of actually continue going with that. But fortunately enough, when we have Wi-Fi, but fortunately enough, now we have Wi-Fi, it doesn't mean that we are the biggest internet cafe in Copenhagen. There are a lot of people on their computers, of course, but there's a really good balance of people. It's not like all people on their computers not talking to each other in the same room. That's completely the opposite of what Absalon's trying to create. But what we can do again is, for instance, we just don't have too many tables out in the daytime, so people have to sit closer to each other. So it's another little tool that we use to make sure that people can't spread out too much, because that's what we all do. If someone's sitting at one end of the table, you sit either on another table or at the other end of the table. So it's just automatically what people do. I do it myself, you know, I'm guilty of it myself. It's just the easiest thing to do. You also feel, oh, I don't want to encroach on their space in some way. Yeah. So we just make sure they have to.
And that also with the ping pong tables, with the ball flying around all the time, you know, it always lands on somebody else's table, and because they're right next to the tables. So people have to interact and, smile to each other. That's what happens. And
if you take that ball off the floor and give it to them, you're doing this very small thing. You're making this small gesture towards them. And you're, just like I was saying, you're looking each other in the eyes and you're seeing that each other exists and you're saying thank you. And I think that's a huge thing. Actually, board tennis as well, or table tennis, you can also ask another person whether they'd like to play with you. Again, it's another way to create the social interaction. And people do that, you know, or rundenbord, when you have lots of players going around the table, when it's a bit of a knockout competition. And that's a really easy thing to get people involved in, because even if you're bad at table tennis, it's an easy thing to be a part of. So daytimes up until 4 o'clock, that's what's going on. Very kind of, we've also got the first floor, which is a little bit quieter. There's more corners to hide in and everything. Downstairs is one big open room. That's where the bar is as well, and kitchen. And then on the first floor, you have more sofas and little corners and small desks where there is a little bit more of a quiet space to work or read or that kind of thing. It also means that we accept in some way that this is what some people also want, and that's important. So it gives as many people as possible ways to use the space.
And you have meals at lunch and dinner as well, or how does that work, that part of things?
So we serve just breakfast and lunch over the counter. People just order it for themselves, because it's not, that's the best way to do it, I believe. It's important that we serve food, but because that's what gives people the energy to stay here, and you could also invite friends over or people to come and eat with you. It's really, really important social aspect of any person's day. It's cheap as well. Everything here is not expensive. That the reason being, so hopefully everyone can come and pay 50 kroner to do some fitness, 50 kroner for a lunch, 10 kroner for a cup of coffee, 15 kroner for a little bottle for morning meal. I can say the general cup of coffee in this town, price for a cup of coffee in Copenhagen, a black cup of coffee is 25 kroner. Here with 10 kroner.
Yeah.
So that at least give you some sort of margins.
And a meal out in Copenhagen would be typically, if you were going for lunch or...
You're looking more at 100 kroner.
Yeah.
I think you can get it for cheaper, obviously, but with a drink, like 100 kroner here, you can get, obviously you can get water, but let's say double. I mean, for what we offer people, there's no comparison. It's so cheap, but it's part of the whole thing. But fellesspisning is our dinner, and I think that's a really good way. Well, it's probably our finest tool of creating social interaction in the house, and it's our most famous element, I believe.
It's the nerve of Absalom.
It's not our idea. The idea, I can't remember when it was invented, but we kind of brought it back. There's lots of things called folkekuchen in this town, which is where you can go to a place and get a meal for a cheap amount of money. It's like, it could be 50, it could be 80 kroner. And you go to the counter and they bring the food to you, or you just get it immediately, or it's a buffet sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much one for one for one, you know, or with whoever you are.
You're not eating at the same time.
No,
it's... You're eating with a lot of people, but not actually together.
No, not really. It's more like, I need to eat. This is a functional way to make that happen. It can be also nice to invite friends also, and things like that. But what fellesspisning is, or the way that we do fellesspisning, is, again, it costs 50 kroner, a very important part of the whole. We set up the room downstairs, so there's space for 200 people to eat. We don't sell tickets in advance, or people cannot book tables like a traditional restaurant. What you do is have to turn up in good time. So we serve food at 6 o'clock. People start arriving from 5 o'clock to buy the tickets for the dinner.
Probably before now.
Sometimes before.
Because it sells out pretty fast nowadays.
Okay, so so people turn up at 5 o'clock to pay. Or be a part of fellesspisning. We then have someone in the door that takes payment and another person that seats people. Like I said, we have space for 200 people. You can come on your own. You can come with your family, your mother, your grandmother, whoever you choose to be with, obviously. And then we sit people at the tables. The tables are, there's room for 8 people around each table, but we also push as many of them together as we can. So it basically feels like some long tables in a room where you all are all eating together. But we break it down to one table because that's the amount of people that are going to be sharing food together. So once everyone's sat, part of the seating is also an integral part of it. So what we do there is obviously make someone feel welcome. We ask them their name to find out who they are, because people respond really well to when someone asks their name, or even saying their name. If for some reason, it feels really nice. Then what they do is bring that person or that small group of guests to sit with some other people at a table. They already know the name of the other people on the table because they write them down on the sheet and say, okay, so Max, this is Pernilla, and this is who you're going to be sitting and eating with today. So that's enough. Just to break the ice, I mean, we can't force people to speak to each other, but we can help make that first contact, which is really important because that's something we're not always so good at. So now everyone's sitting in the room. There's 8 people around every table. We've got 200 people sitting down, ready to eat. At 6 o'clock, the chef comes out and presents the food. what we then do is ask for two people from each table to come up and collect the food. So it's a little bit like at home. You get four dishes of food. You get a bread, some sort of salad or side dish, a small sauce or something that complements the final part of the meal, which is the meat dish, or 2 days a week, it's a vegetarian dish. Then, so those two people can, from on every table, can put their hand up and say, I'll do that. And then they go up and get the food and they bring it to the table. And again, it's another way that you can, one, do something for other people, and two, give the other people a chance to say thank you. Then they have to share that food on the table, right? So then it's like, how much food do you take from these big bowls of food or plates of food? Because it's for eight people. So this is where the social kind of elements again come into play. But then it's pretty much over to them. You know, our job is to try and give them the tools to make it happen, but we are not going to push people into anything. Mm-hmm. They have to then commit to the experience themselves or not. You know, it's every experience is different. We can't just sit back then and think, well, that all went very, very well. You know, everyone's, I'm sure, having a lovely time, because it's a tricky situation. But it's different to a restaurant, where ultimately if me and Casper went to a restaurant together and we went and had a meal together, we would end up speaking to the waiter, maybe the manager, if we went to a nice restaurant and he wanted to check whether everything was nice with our meal. And then we'd leave, and we most probably wouldn't have come into contact with anyone else there, not in a way where we have spoken, really. This, it's like, here's a table of people that don't know each other, and they are now put in the situation where they're going to be together for the course of this meal. What are you going to do in it? We also try to sit people together that seem like they would match in some way, you know. So that's another little silent trick that we have, like families with children. We know that young or like people that maybe want to find a girl or a boy or what have you, don't really want to sit with a family, because the family is just about the family and the children. It can be quite intense. But sometimes elderly people like to sit with children because it lights them up, because maybe they don't see their grandson or granddaughter as much as they'd like to. And other old people hate kids. So it's not a perfect formula, but it's like, who fits together? Who could possibly have a good experience together? Mm-hmm. And that's fairly speaking. And then another part of it is after everyone's finished eating, people are really good to bring their things back to the bar, their plates and knives and forks and all this kind of thing, without us asking. That also obviously took some work at the beginning, because we actually really need that to happen, because we can't have 20 people down here to work every day to clear those tables. It's too much work. So that's, and also, but it's also something that people were doing for each other and also for the house. And then people are just starting to use that, seeing the house a little bit like their home. And that's another important aspect of this house, is called, the idea is that it's meant to be your dowry stew, or your the other room on your the other room that you have in your house. So shall I make breakfast for myself? Nah, just go down to Absalon and have a cup of coffee and have a bottle, and maybe Henlake is there or something. Make it as easy as possible. But also with fellas feasting, a good aspect of it is that you can come on your own. And we do have people that come on their own and take part every day, actually. Some people are here that always come on their own. And that's lovely, because it's no fun to sit in a restaurant on your own. But here, it's completely different. Also, we have a lot of tourists that come now, because we've been open for 3 years, so that means that more people know about us, fortunately. And I don't think there can be a better experience for a tourist in a city. Well, there's a lot, depends what you're looking for. But for generally, I don't think it's a better experience for a tourist to come into a local environment to speak to local people. Or is it? It's not as easy to do as something as it is with fellas feasting, because all they need to do is turn up in good time, and they're going to end up sitting with a group of locals doing what locals do. The other thing is when you're a tourist, is if it's just you and your boyfriend or girlfriend or what have you, or your family, you're just going around with them all day, and it's really irritating after a few days. You're just in each other's face for 24 hours a bloody day, both feeling awkward because no one really knows what to do. You know, you're out of your comfort zone in a little play, in a little way. And what should we do next? Where should we eat? Oh, should we eat here? No, I don't want to eat. Should we? Oh, God. Where here, it's kind of, if you make that decision, you're going to have a really interesting experience. If you open yourself up to it, you can have the best experience of your holiday.
Yeah, that was definitely my experience when I visited. And I was so interested to see all of the other people there. I think I was sitting on the table with an American family because their son had been posted to Copenhagen with work. And then there was a Swedish girl and her Danish friend, and I was there with my boyfriend, and it was a really interesting mix of people that I was like, I couldn't talk to enough people because you just wanted to find out what they were doing there and why and about their lives. So it was such a fascinating insight into other people's lives and what brought them here and what they were all interested in. And yeah, I suppose how people interact. Yeah, it was a really, really wonderful experience. I loved it.
And I think that in general, so many people don't come into contact with strangers anymore. Like, our lives become more and more funneled. When you're at university or whatever, there's people everywhere, there's clubs, you can play sport, you can do all this stuff. Then you become a real adult and you have to get a job. And
you're being brought up with it. Don't talk to a stranger.
Yeah, man. Stranger danger, you know. And it stays with you as an adult. Yeah, all that stuff as a kid really does. You have to reprogram yourself. So eventually, before we know it, we're, let's say, 30 years old with a job that we've had for 3-4 years with a girlfriend or husband or wife or whatever it is, living in a house together, maybe with a child, and every day becomes more and more the same. I wake up, I get my kid ready, I go to work, I take the same route every day. I then work with the same people. I get lunch at the same place, or I take my own lunch with me. Then after work, maybe I have a beer with some people that I work with, and then I go home, I have some dinner with my family or whatever it may be, relax, child in bed, Netflix. And then what happens afterwards is death. we close ourselves down to newness all the time, and just by doing this one little thing, you're just completely opening yourself up to newness for 1 hour, and you're like, oh well, that's actually really interesting. Oh, that's really interesting. You can be inspired by others by just a little thing that someone says that can and if you don't come in contact with people that you haven't met before, strangers, then it's much harder for you to find that. We can go on the internet and find all these new things. Yeah, but people watch the internet on, people watch Netflix and go on the same websites, and, you know, you don't really go, psychology, or what have you. Type that in and then try. Some people do. Lots of people do. I'm making broad generalizations.
That's what a lot of people do, I think. You know.
I wanted to ask you, though. So you're saying that that's the most popular part of what you do at Absalon, the evening meal, which, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it in Danish.
Fællesspisning.
Fællesspisning.
Perfect. Well done.
I was wondering about, where are we now? October. People now talking about things like Christmas and New Year's Eve and times that can be quite stressful for a lot of people, as well as great for other people. But I wondered what the role of Absalon is in around that kind of time. Are you open and do you serve meals then? And
well, that's the thing is, we are never really closed, actually. Yeah, it's 24/7 almost every day. For Christmas, we're having these Christmas lunches that has already been sold out. We just put them up, and we have 8 of those. They're just extremely popular, and it's fællesspisning, but with a lot more entertainment. And then those events you can book in advance. And it's often a big groups of people, friends or companies, and they come together and have the greatest Christmas lunch of the they've ever had. Yeah,
but then we're also open on Christmas Day, and that's more of a regular. That's not for companies and things, because people obviously in general spend Christmas Day with their family.
It's not a too Christmassy Christmas. Can you say that?
Yeah, yeah. There's no Christmas tree in Absalon. Yeah. There's no Christmas decorations.
No.
You don't need that form of Christmas everywhere as well, you know.
It's actually what Christmas is about, being together, you know, with a lot of people and, yeah, having a good time. It's not about all the what we can buy in the shops.
Tinsel. I mean, what's tinsel? I mean, what a word that is, tinsel. I never want to say that word again.
And, like, gnomes and
basically
trees.
But we have, you know, we have some Christmas market. We have Christmas market. We'll have make some Christmas things for your family, you know, like a creative workshop for children. We also do New Year's hats that people come and make, and so we have things that are about the season, but we don't have Santa Claus in our house, and there's no baby Jesus or anything. It's more about taking the good out of anything.
Mm.
And then doing it in our own way.
So relaxed Christmas, if you want to do something else.
And Christmas Day here.
And if you're lonely also.
Yeah, I mean, that's
definitely it.
On Christmas Day here, which is actually the 24th, we just have a Fellowspeasning. And again, you can come on your own, or what you can do is actually have a different form of Christmas. I think Christmas is in some way the most boring time of year, especially because it's always the same. Or it can easily become the same every year. It's different when you have your own kids and then you have a new scenario. But essentially, otherwise, I used to just go home and spend the time with my family, and we'd just fit into our old roles. And my mum would complain about the dry chicken or dry turkey. Oh, it's ruined now. We'd have a little moment there. You know, you can pretty much see it before it's happened. It loses it being special in a lot of ways. We're here. You can come with your mum and your family and share Christmas with a whole bunch of strangers. And that's great, you know. That's really nice that you can try and offer people. It can also be like this.
I mean, we have Christmas every day, you know, kind of, if it's about being together. So it's not that different on Christmas Eve. It's Yeah.
New Year's we close for the evening because we have a Christmas, we have our party. It's the only evening we're really closed. And that's, I think we could have a New Year's party, but it's just one of those things that, I don't know why we don't, we just do something for ourselves and we, people can invite their friends to it. So it's kind of more, it's not just a closed event for us. It's more like everyone can bring some guests.
It's the only day we can all be together.
It's also really
in a party way because we're always open. So
it's such a weird one, New Year's as well, because we are a big venue and there's so many different parties and house parties and all different things going on New Year's Eve that you can actually end up having no one. I imagine. I mean, that was my experience in London. I know we're a bit different, but it's really hard. New Year's Eve, it's so oversaturated and people don't want to commit to anything because something better could turn up, so,
yeah.
So it's maybe in the future, but right now we don't have a New Year's Eve. We're open in the daytime.
I was thinking, since as you've both been there the same amount of time, around 3 years, is that right?
Yeah.
You're saying, if you were thinking about the, I suppose, the major kind of lessons that you've learnt, the things that have really resonated with you. I know you've said a lot of really interesting things that you've learned, some things that you've come to recognise are really important. But for you, the things that you've both stayed there for a reason, you know, you kind of came in different roles, I suppose, starting there, and things have developed along the way. But for you, what are the things that really resonate with you that you've taken so far from being there?
Unfortunately, I'm a person who always thinks about the bad things, I guess, and so I think Yeah, yeah. But I think a lot about how bad raised people are with not cleaning up after themselves and not cleaning up after the children. And I mean, I see it a lot. I think it's people do it better now than they did in the beginning, but they just expected the people who work here to run around and be like, trash collectors. But
and babysitters.
And babysitters. And
I think that speaks to, I was going to say, a bit part of what, to me, Absalom seems to be working to create is this connection and this the disconnect that we assume in some, you know, social situations. Or, you know, Alex, you were saying when you go and get a coffee, you just think, like, hey, serve, go, that's it. And in this new environment, just expecting people to clean up after you, there's this, the disconnect there that you're working to try and kind of reconfigure things, is what it seems to me Absalom is doing, and helping people think and connect.
I think it's also just taking ownership and of the space and being like, oh, I should clean up, because
just being a good person. Like,
it is. And and it's funny you say that, because I haven't actually considered it, but it's very rare
that
people do.
I thought about it so much, and I don't do it that much anymore because I'm not so much in the bar, so I don't see it as much, I guess. But it really annoys me. But people don't clean up after themselves, and also with when they are with their kids, you know, they're just gonna become the same, and it's.
You could also say that this, just like it could have been the biggest internet cafe, it could have been the biggest what would you call it, children's house or playhouse in Copenhagen, and there was a time at the beginning where kids would run around everywhere. Children eat for free if they're under three or under. And so obviously at the beginning, a lot of people were like, brilliant, bring the kids. A lot of people obviously also come because it's cheap. You know, 50 kroner, I can't make a meal in my house for 50 kroner anymore almost. And my kids eat for free. Wow. Oof. You know, and there would just be every night 20 kids running up and down.
We had a huge wall with games and toys in the beginning. And they were just ripped out and the games were everywhere and nobody took responsibility for it.
No, and slowly we just made some, again, we can't, right, what can we do to stop this? All right, so we had to remove the games after a period, or not have so many toys for children because parents don't pick them up. So we just remove that away, move it from, we can still have some, a few games and things, but we don't have Duplo, for example. Then what else can we do? Okay, so when it's dinner time, we turn the lights down a little bit and the music, change the music to make sure it's a little bit more classical or just definitely nothing with a high tempo. Not that we play high tempo music all day, but, you know, something that's quite relaxed. And so then actually what starts to happen is the parents will then psychologically be, okay, so this is a quieter place now, and they look after their children more. It was actually one guy, we're all part of it, like me and Kesper, but we've obviously become, we're in different positions now, but like everyone's, the other important part of this house is no one's employed to work in the bar or to serve food or what have you. People are employed to be a part of the house. Mm-hmm. And this is essential because we want people to grow as individuals while they are here. If you ask, what have you learned personally? I think one of the things is what I'm capable of and what other people are capable of if you kind of give them the opportunity. Yeah. Like central to, no, I'm not an expert. Casper's not an expert. We're not, I don't even have a degree. You know, I was terrible at university. My heart wasn't in it. And I can tell you my heart is in this, and that's why I'm here. That's the key.
Element, I think.
We believe in what we're doing and what this house stands for, and you can see.
To come back to that thing. I take it personal if people don't do if they don't clean up after themselves, and if people break some plans, or, you know, everything is very personal. We put our heart and soul into it.
Yeah, it is like our house in that way. And
we have to do it, or else it won't work. And that's what we're trying to tell all the people who come here, all the people who work here. This is it's not just a job you get here. It's the whole deal. Like
you get in, you get out of it what you put in, like life itself, really. Yeah. But here you have this framework where you have the opportunity again. Like we try to help people into things by knowing. I know everyone that's in the bar. I know what they're good at. I can always know more, but I know what some of their personal qualities and some of their interests. And so then I think of those interests and see, okay, so where could that go for them in the future here in this house if they don't volunteer it themselves? Like, if you're interested in plants, we have a lot of plants in this house that need to be looked after. That's an important aspect of the house. But alternatively, if you want to get up on the stage with a microphone and make a bingo in front of 250 people, well, guess what? You can also do that. You're more than welcome. You just got to stick your hand up. And there's not that many places I know that you can walk into unqualified at an age, whether it's 18 or when I started, what was it, 35, and just be like, do you want to go? Have a go? Like, that was very
good. Do you not want to go? But yeah, do it.
We need someone to do it. Can you do it? Like, are you interested? Like beginning. I mean, I'd say me and Casper have had a very similar journey in the way that we both started on the floor, learning how to do everything from the floor up. You know, what is this house made of? Why are we here? Why is this special? What we're doing, having the interactions with all the guests that come in, to then being people that were managing shifts where you have five people, and how do we best how can we best use this group of people? How best we can use them? How do we do this night as well? You know, everything we did everything for the first time. We didn't know how to make a bingo or a film or all these things for the first time, other than you put it on the projector, but how you set up and all these kind of things we tried out. It was very, very experimental in the beginning.
I think that's why I love the approach, and it's totally linking into my idea with the podcast as well, was about trying things out through projects. Not, you don't come in as an expert in something. And we often want to be at this end point in life before we've lived the process and learned what it takes to get there, and can kind of stop us from experiencing actually what is right for us, or what are we best suited to, because we think we should be at this end point. And so I'm really, really all about this. Yeah, the whole idea for the podcast was this learning through doing, through projects, through experimenting, and then, you know, finding what you really, really love through that, which helps so many other people beyond yourself.
And being given the opportunity to make mistakes after mistake after mistake, ideally new ones all along the way, and hopefully other people learning from your mistakes rather than making the same ones yourself. Mm. You know, I mean, the thing is that our hearts are in it, and for people's hearts to be in it, they also need to be able to not just make coffee. You know, how much of a heart can you have in the coffee? Mm. Like, it's not about that. We don't make the best lattes in the city, but I care more about the person that's making that coffee than how that coffee is, because these people that are there right now downstairs are the people that keep making the house's vision be out there. You know, we're sitting up here talking to you. There's only so much. Well, we're doing it on the other side. We're doing it through a podcast, right? That's why we're spending time for people to kind of understand the idea of the house is. But we'll always come back to the why. Why are we here? Why is Absalon here? Why am I here? And if you believe in that, it's very hard not to put everything that you have into every day you're in that space. And in our home, you know, this is our own little family. I know that's something that people say, and I'm sure Maersk and all the big companies say, this is your little family, but this is our little dysfunctional family. It's a family owned. It was so many family involved in the beginning. Then it was friends of the family that were running the place. And me and him turned up, you know, who were a little bit disconnected from the family as such. And then we started employing people that we thought would be good for the house and different roles. And it's just been really lovely to up until this point to go through this experience with all these people and just watching people try new things and seeing what people can do with when given the opportunity. It's not everyone, obviously, you know, it's not mm-hmm. for everyone to be on a stage like that, but mm-hmm. to see how people have just come and started working in the bar and then gone on to create sold out events for 250 people, or as a really nice small event up in here in Torndale, so where we are, which is a smaller room, the third room that we have, which we have for classes and how to draw and paint, and but all again with a social context, just to see what people, everyone leaves their footprint in this house, you know, and that's just really, really lovely. And long may that continue. And I think the way me and Casper feel about it as well is like our hearts are in it. We love this place. But as soon as we're not the right people for this place, I'd quite happily step down, because what's most important is Absalon is constantly changing. It's constantly evolving, always looking for new solutions to everything, finding out how can we
make an impact.
Yeah, create more of what we're doing in everything that we do, and how we can teach others how what we're doing is something that other people can take away. There will never be another Absalon. This is it. It's not going to be, we're not going to try and have one on every corner of in Copenhagen. No, we're trying to make a blueprint for other people to copy. If we can make this place work, holding up all the time to our vision and the principles of the house to create these social interactions in the best possible ways, then we can pass this knowledge on to others, and they can make an Absalon in their town, in their village, in their city. You know, you talked earlier about, I think this is something that could very much be put into England and Britain, like where we don't have this Mediterranean culture or have this thing where people are always just together and blah, 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 family, and people mix and talk so naturally in Spain and Italy and these kind of places where it's lovely and warm, and it's just different. And England, it is similar to here. And I think of, actually, I'm from a little village in Devon, and called Dartington, and it was an old sawmill town. And so there was a point where there were people that were working in the sawmill, and their families were growing up together, and there was a real sense of community. And then the sawmills got shut down, people moved away, and over time the area became also more attractive to people, so the prices for property increased. So it was very hard for the sons and the daughters of the families that were there to live in this village, so they had to move away. We can also live in Spain if we want, or Copenhagen now. So the world changed. I'm not saying it was better then, I'm not saying it's better now, but it definitely changed dramatically. So now my village has all different new families, people from all over the whole area, very little left of the old, and there's people with cars as well, obviously, and so they just live there, and then they go to school and they go to work, they drive off. We have this really small community, but it also doesn't have a place for people to meet, like the school, obviously, that's one area. If you've got kids, you bump into other parents, nice. But otherwise, there's nowhere to go. There's one really nice pub, but it's really expensive now. And the other pubs in the village have shut down because it's very hard to have a pub open anymore because of the prices. But there's one little centre called Medibrook, and it's right by the swimming pool and the little tennis court and the play area. And these are kind of the local parish council look after these areas. So it's still like there's this little hub that's just clinging on for survival. Meadowbrook is a two-tiered old building, probably with an asbestos roof or what have you, rotting, probably needs to be knocked down. But there's a little bar, a members bar, and then there's a space upstairs. And I was like, if I took over that space, I know I would just put an absolute right there. And what do I mean by putting an Absalon there? Just take the basic principles of what I've learned here. What brings people together? What are the tools of social interaction? Those will work there, no doubt. Obviously, you have to promote yourself and make sure you're known, but everyone will try it. And from there, you can start rebuilding these communities. Like, we're more selfish, we're more worried about ourselves, we're very fearful individuals because of what we don't know, and we all have our differences. But if you can kind of put people in the same space with the same thing to be involved in, you could call that a bingo. Our bingos have themes, so last night it was Sex and the City Banco, you know, pretty trashy, but God, you've just got 250 people. Well, girls, in this case, 250, they're all together for the same reason, because they love this thing. And they're not therefore going to be like, oh, what do you do then? Or people start talking about what they've done in their house recently. I've started painting this or bought this thing. It's more like people together for the same thing, with the same interests, and set in a little celebration of that. So, or dance, or obviously dinner is something we all have to do. But yeah, there's just lots of elements there that can just work anywhere. And hopefully then you build a community. Then the community has a chance to build. And then those people can think about how maybe they can make the community better. But at the very least, they will say hello to each other when they see each other going to the shop, you know. And so you've got a nicer area. So it's very transferable. And I really hope that we're doing a good job of making that visible to people. We've also got our book now, which is only in Danish at the moment, I'm afraid. And that's just the whole principles of the house. And so that's what, there you go. If you want to learn something, this, that can say it better than I can ever say it.
That will be translated into English, because I saw the book was coming out when I was there, and it would be fantastic to read it. And I think it's clear this is a model that could be used in so many places. And just you talking about Devon there, you can see it happening there. So yeah, I think it's a good just need to buy it, do you say?
Yeah, just need money for it. Yeah,
just that thing.
The idea is that you can just take elements out of it. It's just about creating like for people to interact together, come back and be together. And you can do that on so many levels. You don't even have to have a place in actuality. Invite people to a field and like play football, whatever. You know, it can be anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But taking those elements of what it is to create a sense of community with people in whatever way you want to. So, yeah, I wanted to thank you both very much for giving so much of your time today.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, hopefully worked out.
No, it's been wonderful to hear from you about hear more about the project. It's really fantastic. And I thought, just to finish off, I wondered, is there anything you'd say to someone who's a bit intrigued maybe about coming to Absalon, but might think, I don't know if a community space is it for me, or is it a bit intense or a bit hippie-ish, and why should I come to Absalon and try it out, do you think?
Online, I'm thinking of loads of really corny lines, the really bad ones. I don't want it to be that. I think that, but one thing, it's really easy to walk through our door. There's no one there in the way, or like, it's very good kind of, you can come in and you can just look at it. You know, you don't have to be afraid. You can just come in and have a look, and that's fine. You know, you don't have to buy anything. We're not expecting you to buy anything. Just come in. You're not going to be sold anything. Just allow yourself the chance to walk in. But if you just want to walk in, don't come at 5 o'clock when there's a big queue out. But don't be afraid to walk through, because there's nothing to be afraid of in Absalon. It's that's it. People get afraid when they think they have to buy something. It's or if I go in there, am I committing to something? You're not committing to anything. So just walk through the door and have a look around. You know, our house is your house.
It's a special place, I would say. You can take a lot of things from it. It's how you come in and how you act, I guess. You can be a lot of things in this house. You have a lot of possibilities here to become something. I don't know.
But there's no pressure, like, you know. Like I say, you're opening the doors to possibilities in some way. But there's no pressure on you to kind of, you know, make
open all the time. So you can meet so many people that can, be beneficial to your life if you want them to.
Especially you, Casper.
Especially Casper.
Thank you both so much for your time and speaking with me today. I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for showing the interest and helping us kind of, you know, get the idea and concept out, and hopefully more people. I think that's someone I need to have a look at, you know, and come and visit.
Come and visit, and we can do a live version of it.
Yeah, definitely. Brilliant. Thanks so much.
Lovely to meet you. Take care.
And you. Bye.
Bye.